Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday night. To some of you in other parts of the world, it is Sunday morning. To others, Sunday evening. But no matter what part of the time or the day it is, this is another God's Word to Men broadcast with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And I'm Brother Nate, who's joining in. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that are listening to us on this broadcast. And we thank God for opening such a door that we can get the gospel of Christ unto you. Praise be to God. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact our email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GodsWordToMan@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we will give unto you. Praise be to God. So once again, another blessed day in the Lord. And for those of you that have been following us, you know it's Saturday night, so that means heart to heart. With Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and me, Brother Nate, joining in. Praise be to God. And as we wait for our brother to come on, once again, I want to take this opportunity to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for all of you who've been listening to us thus far. Coming up next month, Lord say the same, we still be on. It will be 3 years that we have been on Blog Talk Radio. Thank God for that. A blessed day in the Lord. Amen. And once again, I want to announce the interview about the school of teaching God has put on my heart. And, you know, that if any of you have any, I'm asking for two or three subjects from interview about what you'd like to see taught. Once I get all the, requests and all that in, I will go before the Lord on how to organize it. But God had put on my heart about a school of teaching. And I know I can't do it all by myself, but I know that it has to start somewhere. And I believe on the Lord Jesus to work this thing out. So therefore, I will turn to him on how to organize it. Praise be to God. For more information or if you're sending your request, you can call me, Brother Nathaniel Hunt, area code 662-229-5331. That's 662-229-5331. Or you can contact me at my email address at nathanielhunt1971@gmail.com. Amen. Praise be to God. So we are grateful for another blessed day. And for those of you who know, yesterday we was having some technical difficulties. Some of you may have tried to log on or try to get on and couldn't. And we've been facing that situation even with our phones here in Mississippi, especially in Durant. And ever since the tornado hit 2 years ago, we've had some issues with AT&T with the phone and the computers and stuff like that. But praise be to God. Thank God for being able to get the message out anyway, anyhow. So therefore, the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio, it records what the broadcast. So if you couldn't get us after the broadcast, however, you wait about 30 minutes to an hour maybe, you can hear it on the recording. Praise be to God. So thank God for that. And once again, I want to turn your attention to asking God for wisdom, walking the wisdom of God, especially in this time concerning your finances. Now, I want to stress that again, and many of us have the faith to receive finances from God, but we lack the wisdom to keep it, or we lack the wisdom in dealing with it. And many people have been hurt because, or hurt themselves because, they lack the wisdom of God concerning the finances. The lack of wisdom have hurt many families. It has caused many people to become homeless, you know, because of the lack of wisdom concerning finances. And so the day we're living in now, you see the things that's happening with the economy. We're hearing of jobs laying off people, if not by the tens, by the hundreds, okay? Big corporations are laying off people, okay? And it's not a day for you to 100% depend upon your job. Okay, I'm just going to say it, and I'm not trying to be funny, because the way these companies are going now, you know, sometimes at any moment, they can come up to you and say, hey, we're having a reduction in workforce, blah, 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 we got to lay you off. And you might start saying, hey, I've been there 15, 20, 25 years. And they say, well, yeah, we know, but we got to cut the reduction. And some companies will do that because they would take someone, you know, other than you who they may be paying with cheaper labor, paying cheaper, and because you've been there 15, 20 years, they got to pay you the highest pay. They'll say, well, we need to go to the cheaper pay one and let them stay and work with them and let the higher pay one go. Amen? Praise be to God. So, pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless. God bless you. Be with you in a minute. Go ahead.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Well, and so that's what I say unto you, to the people today, the wisdom. And you need wisdom. And if you lack wisdom, you know, for us to get help from God, we have to admit that there's a problem. We have to admit that we need help. And some of us in pride, we won't open our mouth and say, hey, I don't know how to manage my money right. And see, some of us know that, you know, we know we're blowing the money. You know, we know it. It's not every time that people is unaware of certain things they're doing. Sometimes people are aware. But pride causes them not to ask for help. Okay? And I know that many of us can vouch to that of other things in our lives personally where we needed the help, but because we were so full of pride, we wouldn't ask it until the situation got in dire straight, then all of a sudden we want to ask for help. And so there are plenty of people who lack the wisdom, knowing they lack the wisdom and knowing that they are blowing the money, but once again, because of pride, they would not ask for help. And what you're going to see is them suffer greatly if they don't ask for help. And I'm really telling you, listeners, you really need to hear this. Today is the day of wisdom. You need to you're going to see people that have applied wisdom, and they're going to stay afloat. And you may be wondering, with all that they had, how did they stay afloat? Because they use wisdom in their finances. You know, I was just sharing that with someone, a family members back here just about, I say maybe a couple hours ago, almost a couple hours ago, about how God dealt with me about sowing seed and how he was showing me that, you know, many times when we ask God for more money because, hey, I want to sow seed, I want to give, I don't have the money, stuff like that, you'll find out many times that, well, there'll be some time where God tells you, yes, you do have the money. And you'll say, well, Lord, where the money at? And so God began to take you through your daily routines, your weekly routines, and show you that, hey, you don't need this thing. You buy this thing every week. Do you really need that? And so in the honesty of your heart, you say, well, no, Lord, I really don't need that. Sometimes I get it. I don't even do nothing with it. So that may be another $20, you say. And then God will come with something else, because he does this over a process period where he show you different things. Then he may come and say, you know, you be buying this particular thing, and this thing costs you $50, but you already got enough of it at your house. Do you need to get any more? You may say, well, Lord, no, I really don't, because I ain't really using all that I have. Well, that's another $50, so that's $70 in your pocket. And I tell you what, if you don't believe me, I say this to anyone, try it. Go to God and say, God, I want to sow more seed into your kingdom. I want to sow more into your work. I want to do more. And watch what God would do. One of the things he would do is that when he deals with you in that area, he's going to deal with you in-house first. Okay? Because we ask the Lord for, quote, more finances. And there will come a time where he will bless you more financially. But many times he's going to start from in the house. And what I mean is that he's going to start by saying, you get this every week. Do you really have to get that? Well, no, I don't have to get that, Lord. Boom, there's another $50 in your pocket. Oh, you've been getting this over here. Why is you getting this? Oh, you got many at your house. Well, Lord, you right. I only use the one I got at the house. Boom, that's another $50 in your pocket. See, God, he will come in the house. Many times we're looking for something outside to be brought in, which God would do that. But, you know, people don't want to look at when you is not walking in wisdom. God can bless you with $3 million. If you don't have the wisdom concerning the manager of your finances, you will blow it. You will blow the $3 million, okay? And I know some people out there say, there ain't no way you can do it. Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, yes, you can. You can get a lot of money and blow it if you don't walk in wisdom. God bless you, brother.
Oh, may the Lord shine, face may shine upon you, a countenance rise upon you in the household, and the days and this evening or night or morning, wherever it may be. We acknowledge the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the blood, and the power of the resurrection of our Lord. So, and every saint around the world, and those that are not, and we acknowledge you and make mention of you in our prayers in every nation as the Lord put on our mind in every place. Yeah, we handmade tonight, heart to heart and face to face, just talking and sharing and having fellowship around the world in all nations. We happen to be, I in Chicago, Illinois, USA, Brother Nate in Durant, Mississippi, and Sister Anderson is in Pennsylvania, and Sister Helen Tigger is in also in part of I think Durant, Mississippi. So, what you were talking about, yeah, about the wisdom or the discipline or self-control.
Right.
You know, you can have $1 million and you don't have any managing skill or any discipline, it'll come to naught. Or even the money, you can be given $1 billion. It wouldn't do most people any good. It'll be gone because they have no ability, which is called self-control, tolerance, or skill about the use of money. So whether you're Christian or non-Christian, the same principle applies to all things about how wisely whatever blessing you get rightly, the right way, it can go through your fingers and hands. Because I know I would, if I had to listen even closer to the Lord right now, I'd be a million or a million millionaire. But because I didn't listen closer to the wisdom and direction of the Lord, then I didn't get there. And if you get money, which in my past youth days I've seen money just go through your fingers, not planted in the right place, not the real use, no self-control, no discipline. And so that's what happened to many people, especially in the Western world. You can get $1 million or $2 million, and overnight it can be gone. Or a lot of these sports figures today, especially in basketball, in professional basketball and in football, and some of the sports, you read the story how they in their life 10 years or 50 years accumulated $134-200 million, and they now broke. Broke.
Yeah.
So you can get it and you can lose it. And that's quite true. And I hear a story. I don't know if you heard the story. Most of the people that won money through gambling or lottery or whatever they call it, do you know most of them? Over 90, I don't forget for sure, but it's over 90% wind up broke, debunked, losing their family, losing everything. And I'm not going to get into specifically why that happened, because, you know, people are going to go after money their own way, and gambling is one of the tools that Satan has used for time immemorial to get people at the game they call luck. And many people try to put God in luck, but God is not in luck, and God is not in gambling. And there's no in the scripture where God deals with luck or gambling. He makes promises and he keeps them. So, you know, I often think about if I had to listen early to the Lord and back when I first came in, he was giving some advice, and I didn't. I procrastinated, put it off, and so just wound up being a working man, like an honest working person. But I thank God that for all that he does do and what he wants to do when we wisely follow him. And if we get it, like many people today in the world, in the entertainment world, and in the sports world, in the business world, people that don't go to school and get no idea how to use common sense or money values, they don't have it. They don't keep it. They don't know what they're investing in. And so I've looked online and seen some of the professional basketball players, because I was a thing about basketball when I was growing up, basketball and football. And some of the stars, and I look at their lives, and they made all these millions, hundreds of millions, and I wanted to see where are they today. And you'll be shocked where they are. Most of them are shining shoes, driving a bus or something. But okay, handmaiden, there's those that have been successful in the use of little and obtained great. So you can take a little seed and use it wisely and hard work and diligence, and it can multiply. This is common sense value. And especially in the Christians, the Lord has used many methods, the precepts, how to prosper his people, you know, the right way. So I know we went over this before a little bit, that a lot of church people or Christian people, gambling go to, they use the gambling, and sure, they justify it. They gamble, and they have been strung out, addicted, lost everything, lost home, lost families, and they start off with a nickel and a quarter and a dime, and 40 years later, they don't spend maybe $50,000. And the devil seduced them and let them win a little bit, and all people go crazy. Oh, I just missed you. I just missed you, brother. Hey, by one number, I got that $1 million. Oh, I just missed you. Two numbers. And the devil said, okay, I'm going to let you win $100, $200, and keep you on the line, and just keep you strung out. And so they win. The devil let them win to three or four. And then they say, oh, brother, my God. Then he'll let some one individual out of the 200,000, the 300,000, he'll let one individual strike it and win a million. Say, oh, they won it. I'm going to get it. So he allures us, deceives us, and tricks us and put us in addiction bondage. The same way with cigarettes or anything in the world that gets control of your life and takes you in the wrong direction. One of the greatest problems we have with health today is that Americans and even people around the world now are smoking cigarettes. And we got it basically from America. And America is the capital of tobacco and cigarettes. And so all over the world now, you see Chinese, just everywhere, just smoking them cigarettes. I mean, they can't do it. They step out of the job. They step out of the car, young and old. They got to have a cigarette. And it's destroying their health, but it's a $1 trillion industry. So here we go. And even many Christians smoke, and they're bound and got habits and got, to, you know, can't help it. And then we got more alcoholics now, addicted to race trapping, to alcoholics, to drug addiction, sex addiction and perversion in the history of the world now. So we're working to help people to find a better way of freedom and liberty, because Christ came to set the captive free. And if you're addicted to gambling and to lottery or some other form of bondage in your life, because God never intended for nothing to control your life but him, nothing to control your life but him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And now right now, brother, many Amen. Christians are Amen. Planning their vacation. And just think about where they're planning a vacation at. And it's not always for a good purpose. Many Christians are going busloads and plane loads. Where are they going, Brother Nate?
Yeah. Well, we know it ain't ain't going to a good church gathering. A good gathering for Christ.
I don't think, and there are those that are doing that, of course. And I thank God for those that go to great conventions where people of God meet to praise and prayer and fast and learn of the things of God.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid
many going to the casinos. Many going to the casino, brother.
Do you think Jesus be at the door and introducing them, brother? And say, come on in. I got something.
Well, brother, if they tell me he is, I'm gonna ask them what Jesus is that.
You want to know what Jesus is this?
Yeah, that guy.
I guess you're right. We're going to find out is it a counterfeit dollar? All right. I guess you're right. But you know, I think ignorance is the Bible said I wouldn't have any. And I think a lot of believers, good believers, and love the Lord, and these just good people, get caught up in these little small habits and bondage that take away their life and die early before time. And they're bound and oppressed. And many Christians, you know, have habits too that have got bound in. And it's just like eating. Some people now can't do without sugar. They have to eat sugar, every meat. They're bound and stuff that's going to be detrimental to their health and their life. And that's not the will of God, but it'll take away your life, take away your health. Sometimes it can take away your home, your marriage, your future, and your job, and your ministry, of course, because you get hooked on so many things. But there is a recovery, a road for recovery, and whoever you are out there, there is a road back, freedom, liberty. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord, who made a way of deliverance. And so people get bound to these things, and they think there is no way of freedom or deliverance. And Satan tell them, I tried. And I just, this is the way God want me to be. And so they have to come, you know, when you try it, and you try it in your own ability, in your own strength, in your own way, and you don't succeed, but you haven't tried Jesus' way and God's way and the Holy Ghost way and deliverance way, they just you resign themselves. This is the way it's just start. This is the way it got to be. This is the way God want me to be. God want me to be this way. Okay. Hmm. All right. You know they got to put him in there eventually.
Yeah. Got to.
You know, and it's sad, brother, because in ignorance, the word of God is a knowledge and eye-opener. That's why we need to read, study, and hear the unadulterated gospel and the word of God, the Bible. We need to hear it, know it, so we can come truth. And eyes come open, understanding about how Satan has worked to destroy, hinder, bind, and kill, and hinder us from having a blessed, fulfilled life. There's a lot of people, I was talking to a guy, and we are now having a problem with food addicts. And so many people are overweight. I mean, just marais in America. This hormone, the stuff they're feeding the animals, in pesticides in the ground is killing people. The food, I had never seen so many overweight people, young people, and mostly among more women than men, but in certain areas. It's a curse. I'm gonna have to tell you what it is, because at 20, 25 or 30 years old, you see in certain parts of America, you see women's 400, 500 pounds just complete. Growing up, and they're good people. I mean, wonderful people, but they're going to die early with heart attacks and stroke because of what's in the food. And the food has got a curse in it from the ground, the hormones they're feeding the animals, and what they're putting in the grass and putting in the fooding stuff, and it's a curse to this generation. And you notice, brother, you look at people, our young children, some of them are, you know, growing like giants. You see, in our generation, kids are just growing like 6'6", 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 15.
You're definitely right about
and then
that.
And then some of the hormones they're putting in the milk and the food, the kids are just growing out. And because in the Western side, we see kids, boys are more active in sports and walking than girls generally. So you see more young girls who at 14, 15, and 16, it's boys who are by nature generally are more active, more physically active in sports and running and as a nature. So you don't see as many of boys as heavy out of weight obese like you see women in our society. And this is why it's killing us. And we have to tell people this is part of our mission in the gospel, that Jesus wants you to live long life before you get to heaven. He wants you to live a full life while you live in the earth. He don't want you to come to heaven early at 20, 21 when you got to work for you to do on the earth and finish your course. So you may go to heaven. I'm not saying you know won't be redeemed and your spirit and soul won't go to heaven, but you'll cut your life short. Your kids, your grandkids, the things you want to accomplish will be cut short and being cut short. So many people are having cataract problems because of weight and diet. Now, we have to tell people this. This is part of the plan of the fall of man, to Adam falling and into ignorance and the earth being cursed and you're eating all and drinking all kind of cursed things. And the saints are supposed to pray over everything they put in their mouth and sanctify it. I will if they don't. That's all I can say. If you don't. So,
yeah.
They stick it in their mouth. Top group. Me, I use wisdom, brother. I use prayer and faith and sanctify. And the second thing, I use the wisdom that God give me. I cleanse, I purify the stuff that I put in my mouth. I give proper wash to get away some of the chemicals that's in it. And then I try to eat more fruit and whole fruit that's alive instead of dead food. The more dead food you eat, which I'm not saying you can't eat meat, I ain't going to even get in there because we'll have all people calling from around the earth. We start getting on there about in the meeting, bro. So I'm not even going to go down there because I don't even, because they don't usually tell people.
But you get more than rock thrown at you did. You gonna get a car and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, they'll be throwing bowlers over here from around the world. They'll be shipping the bowlers by electronic bowlers. Boom, boom. Goodness, good. What's that? It's doom. Leave my meat alone. Lose my hamburger. Lose my. You better leave it alone. That's what you better do. All I'm saying. God wants you well, healthy. And we got to cooperate with the laws of wisdom of life. You can't just have faith and ignore wisdom. You hear that, bro? You just can't have faith and ignore wisdom.
Right, right.
Faith don't work against wisdom, and wisdom don't work against faith. Now, if you're going to say, I can do anything I want and just use faith, then you are not understanding the laws of wisdom. If you say I have faith and I jump off a building and you think that there's not going to be no consequences, oh, okay. I'm glad you think that. Because you're a Christian, you can jump off and the laws of gravity don't apply to you. Okay, so the law of gravity don't jump. Well, I'm a Christian, I can jump off a building. The gravity law don't affect me because I'm saved, sanctified. Well, I tell you one thing going to happen. You're going to go to heaven quick. Your bones going to be broken quick unless God so have mercy on you and don't let you have a fatal thing. But you know one thing?
Yeah.
Christians do not believe that they are subject to the laws in the Bible concerning this life. They only think that they are subject to spiritual laws. And this is a mistake that we haven't trained people. They think, as a Christian, believer, born again, that you're only subject to spiritual laws. But as long as you're in this body, in this flesh and body, brother, you are subject to the laws of this body and flesh. You, if you don't believe it, just because you're saved and sanctified and you ain't got to drink enough water, and you see when you go to the doctor, he'll tell you, and you could be saved, sanctified, and filled. And because you're still in this flesh, in this human life, and subject to these laws, he'll tell you the saints and the sinners, he'll tell both of y'all the same thing. You're not got enough water in your body. You're not drinking enough water. You got too much in it. The same laws applies to the saint and sinner concerning the laws concerning this body and this flesh. If you don't eat enough fruit, the doctor would say your cholesterol level and your kidney or your cleansing, you backed up because you eat too much of this. The same laws concerning the body and the flesh, you are subject to whether you be saint or sinner. You have an advantage when you are saint, though. You have a big advantage over the sinners. But some sinners are more wiser than saints concerning the body.
Yeah.
I'll say that again, brother.
Yeah.
I said some saints, some person that's not in Christ, have more wisdom about the health of the body than the saints do. And some of them don't have the diseases that saints do because they obey the laws concerning the body and this health. And they eat wisely and do wisely, and they don't have certain afflictions in the flesh. Hallelujah. I know somebody loved that. I know somebody loved that.
Amen.
I know I've learned the hard way. I've learned some things the hard way. And so I pass it on to the saints. God wants you to have a free. He don't want you walking around sick, pain, oppressed. He wants you to live long, prosper, be in health, fruitful, and joyful all the days of your life. All right. We want to say to tonight in particular, we celebrate the women of God. And we celebrate women in particular around the world and what they have contributed to the world and to a civilization and to life. So we celebrate the women of God as well as those that are not in God who are good women who made a great contribution to life. If it was not for the women's and mothers and wives and activists and community and medical people and the caring people and the farmers and the business and the women that contribute who oft-time are not given credit. And so we on this night celebrate the women, the wives, the husband, and the great women as the leaders, the activists in all the world who contribute to the civilization and the good of mankind and the excellent way they have contributed to the well-being of their family, for their nation, and the community. We celebrate you. Whether you are redeemed in Christ or you're just a good woman with a brilliant mind that God has given, great ideas that have helped the civilization. See, sometimes people don't realize that God uses women and that are not yet redeemed with great ideas, great thinking, great inventions. Do you notice that, brother, in the civilization of the world, a lot of those people that got those ideas were not saved, but God gave them to them.
Right.
You don't have to be saved to get God give you wisdom about making a car, or making a telephone. I know people don't understand that. Because most of these people, some of them didn't even know God or had God on them and their understanding. But God gave them brilliant ideas of invention for the good of civilization. And this is the part that we don't understand. We think you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost before you can get all these scientific breakthroughs. Yet it does help tremendously. But God uses and give ideas, brilliant thoughts about inventions to many people around the world. So I just want to bring that in. So we celebrate all the great women. I just love to celebrate people that are not, and mention people that not celebrate. Because a lot of time women don't get credit for a lot of things in the history. They're left out of history. They're not spoken of, as well as in the biblical history. So I just got to step up to the plate because my mother, my legacy, and my mother, and my grandmother, and my grandmother, I owe them. Oh, Jesus, he gave me a great gift. And I appreciate the women contribute in every area so greatly to the forming of the decision that a man make or that a father make or a husband or their uncles or children make. Because the mother is the first one to bear them for 9 months and the first 2 or 3 years of their life. So I have to give to the great and wonderful access available of women and the women of Christ especially. And sometimes the praying women in the dark among the mothers praying, praying for their children, praying for the grandchildren, standing there gap when no man is there. So I want to thank God. I want to give honor to the great contribution, love, and excellent things women has done for the human race. Just one thing out before I go on. The Bible said in Jeremiah that a woman shall surpass a man. Well, how shall she surpass a man? A woman will surpass a man, Jeremiah said. Surpass. Now, the word surpass is different from, the Bible said a woman shall compass a man. Now, the word compass is different from expass or over. How did a woman compass a man? The living God used a woman to bring salvation through a woman. Isn't that something?
Amen.
We keep forgetting that. Now, I know the Catholic Church try to worship her. I know that's a misfault and misunderstanding. The Mary is not to be worshipped, nor any worship to worship and pray to. That's a miss. That's where ignorance comes from, the lack of real knowledge of the Bible God. See, you see, they take it to the Babylonian, where they worship the Babylonian woman, back to Nimrod, when a woman as queen was worshiped as God. The Catholic Church took that, and they worshiped Mary as the mediator, and they pray to her and bow to her, which is sacrilege and abomination. I think that many people don't know that. I know many people with goodwill and well-meaning praying to Mary right now for an answer. And these are good people, wonderful people, caring people. But they have been blinded. They have been deceived. And so they got their candle, and they just, Hail Mary, full of grace, and they're going through all of this, and they don't know that's not the way. Jesus is the only mediator and the only advocate with the Father. And you can't pray and get no prayer through no saint. Your candle you're burning is a demon. That other candle is a demon. I don't care if his name saint is, that's forbidden. And I know I'm crude and I'm rude, I'm offensive, but I got to warn you, that's a Babylonian religion. When you're praying to dead people and lighting candles and hoping they answer. St. Joseph, are we praying to the patron saint Joseph? These are good people that deceive and trick, brother.
Yeah.
Led astray, good people, millions of them. Millions of them. Praying to dead, when the Bible forbids us, you cannot pray to dead people. The only person you can, the Bible said, what you ask the Father in my name, I'm the mediator of the New Testament. Nobody can get prayers answered by putting light in the candle to Peter. Peter is not a mediator between God and man. He is a servant, a dead servant that's risen with, that's in heaven. And you can't, and then they use Mary, and they've been taught this, good, wonderful people, you would think that they would read the Bible. Do you think they're reading the Bible?
No. Not reading and learning.
You would think that all of those people would take time to read his words that he had written, but no, they listen to people and don't go and compare the word, the gospel, and the law and the prophets. They take, you know, these things for granted. Oh, the father told us to do this, or the priest told us to do this, or the guru told us to do this, or the the person from Hindu, what his name, he told us to do that. And they don't examine the word and examine the scripture, see what these things of God. This is a power of being lazy and not searching the scriptures like Jesus told you and testing everything. Okay, I better get off of that before I get all these bowlers thrown at me. Okay, let's get off that.
Too late, brother. Too late.
Too late.
Too late.
I apologize if you offended, but I still have to tell you the truth. I'm not trying to destroy or say I'm better than you. I'm just saying my eyes has come open. Would you read your Bible, please, and study the scripture in the New Testament concerning who is the Savior, who is your Lord, who can answer prayer? These good people I see on TV, millions of them, running down the street with a candle, and they go into these shrines. They have these shrines of the Mother Laurie and the saint of this. These are good people, millions of them. A lot of them are Latinos, all groups, who've been told with a candle and burning it and praying to Mother make our neighborhood better, and they're bringing a curse on themselves and don't know it. Don't know praying and bring a curse and a demon curse on. Don't even know it. They're good people. If they only have their eyes open by reading the gospel and the epistles for themselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then that's sad. But we have the responsibility to make people mad, Brother Nate.
Amen. Amen.
I said, when you preach what thus said the Lord concerning the prophets and Jesus, you're going to make people upset and mad. But the truth is very, very sharp, and you don't want to, you know, believe it because who you think you are. I know somebody's saying, who do y'all think y'all are?
Amen.
We are just humble servants of Jesus Christ, called and commissioned and charged to declare the truth of God, the everlasting gospel to every person on the earth. So I'm not upset because you're mad at me, because I could be over there, a Roman Catholic, a Hindu, or Islam, and I could be hearing you, and I say, oh, no, here they go, them Christian strengthening. I could be on the other side. I could be in that blindness. I could be a Hindu. I could be a Islam, a Buddhist, or a Roman Catholic, brother. I could be in that situation.
Yeah.
So may the Lord have mercy, because he brought me out of darkness, and he can bring them out. Hallelujah. I said he's going to bring many of them out. That he that has ear to hear what the gospel says is preaching these last days. All right. Oh, heart to heart and face to face. Face to face. Can I read this, brother, right quick to the women around the world? Can I read this? In respect and honor to all the great women who made contribution to the nation, to the earth. You know, when I was a little kid, there was a woman named Mary Barton. What her name? I think it was Barton. And she was the first one nurse to go on the battlefield where they was fighting during the, war between the states, where this woman went on there and they were shooting and killing to in order to minister to the sick people. You know, there's so many women who do so many great things. Some of them are written, but so many, many are not mentioned. But God himself knows. God knows what they had done. I want to read this about we now recognize the need for good mothers, good wives, good women who are activists and leaders and ministers, or business lady, and just in their community, being a help in medically, training, teaching our kids, training in the home, or bringing up a nation, guiding a nation along with the man or the father. Where do we have a shortage in America in many areas, in certain areas, brother, in certain groups? We have a shortage of good fathers. Is that right? A good husband?
Yeah.
There's a shortage. The scripture said it. Yes, we do. I mean, we got to be straight. Got to be honest. Yes, in America in particular, and many other nations, because many of them are killed or even in jail.
Right.
Praise the Lord for Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to read this about the legacy and the greatness and the contribution of the women of the earth. Now we're going to read the history, a little legacy. Women have had an extreme and important leadership role. Wow. In the Pentecostal and charismatic movement, as has been the case in most awakenings and movements of the spiritual vitality throughout Christianity. It says that women has an extreme important leadership role in all the history of Christianity, from the role of the Pentecostal to the charismatic to the evangelist movement. Women has played an important role. Many, many pioneers of Pentecostalism were women. were women. You know that it, including Florence L. Crawford, the founder of the Apostolic Faith Movement in the Pacific Northwest. Mariah Budgett Brown, who founded Glad Tidings Tabernacle in New York City. Amy Semple McPherson, founder of the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. Some such great evangelists and healers and deliverers are women like Mariah B. Woodworth Etter and Carrie Judd Montgomery has already established ministry during the 19th century, during the holiness movement. There has been a strong tradition of women in leadership in the holiness movement. Phoebe Palmer has a pivotal in its development with her Tuesday meeting for the promotion of holiness held in New York City from 1835 until 1874, with the wild circulation of her books and tracts, including The Way of Holiness, which has appeared in 52 editions by 1867. In constant demand as a public speaker, she brought countless people into the full consecration to God. Hannah Withall Smith, author of The Christian Secret to a Happy Life. In the healing movement, many women, hallelujah, and the Pentecostal and the charismatic movement, every movement of God in the earth, the women of God played an initial pioneer and also a leadership role in every work in the Lord, every revival of the Holy Spirit, any spiritual awakening, the women played a major role. In every area where great achievement was in nations, whether it be way back into areas that we not call quite civilized, women, wives, played a major role in development and a help during crisis time in helping the children and helping their community and helping the nation. You'll find women standing strong. Hallelujah. So I just want to start off tonight in recognizing from now on I will be giving high regards from the biblical days all the way down to this century, what women has been used, how they have contributed, how this world could not have been developed into a whole complete civilization. The homes could not develop, the government, the business could not develop without the help. With the education system, our children, without the special help of the good and great women. Some were great in the work of the kingdom of God and clarifying the gospel in the healing, in the deliverance movement, even from Jesus himself. I was looking at, in the Bible, the women that was accomplishing Jesus when he was going out. Most of you don't read the Bible and know that when Jesus would be going out on these missions, you know that women were with him. Oh, I began to look at that, and that's not always mentioned. But Jesus have a habit of mentioning the women in the Bible during his initial ministry. He mentioned the women that were ministering to him and was a special help to him. And Apostle Paul filled his letters. Go and read his epistles. There were so many women in the church and in the work of the Lord in Apostle Paul's day that helped him and was a blessing and that aided him in the gospel and in many other areas. So and the epistles are filled with the names of these women. And I was specializing in women because they often are left out. So I honor the great women of God and all the way back from the beginning of the church, from the foundation of the world. I thank God for them. Amen. And still today, I know there is a devilish side. Brother Nate, there's always a devilish side to things.
Right.
Yeah. There's a God and a good side and an excellent side, but the devil is always going to get in there somewhere and make a mess out of stuff. I know in our generation, in the natural world, the devil has got into women's movement and call it good for women, and has infiltrated women with perverted and wrong ideas of their place in society. Now we have this foolish women's movement who trying to be as good as a man, or better than a man, or take a place of man. Now we got all this perversion. Women don't want to be women anymore. They want to be something else. And men don't want to be men anymore. This is the devil has infiltrated and hindered the role of God that women and men are to play, separate roles. See, whenever God blesses, the devil's going to bring some fanaticism in it, some extremism, some evil in it. He can't let God use women and men in their roles together and helping and being a blessing. No, he got to pervert it and have them against one another. I said the devil got to have men and women against one another and competing against one another in their roles. Now, women are just intelligent and smart, but they have different roles. Did you get that, Brother Nate?
Right.
I said they were created for different roles in life. A woman was created for a particular role. I know she could be educated, she could be smart, but she's still a woman and created for a woman's role. And a man was created by God by creation. I said by creation, he was created to be a man and fill a man's role, not a pimp.
Yeah.
You get that now. Not a pimp.
Amen.
Not a manipulator, not a beast. Not a little demon with some pants on.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But the devil want to get in the natural order of things and pervert it. He want to extreme. When I talk about women, the Bible said in the last days, women would get out of their role, and men would step out of their their natural role, and Satan would pervert it, and he would cause a dissension and an unnatural order of things. Romans chapter 1. He would create an unorder, and the laws of man would be changed to go along with this evil disorder. Now we got three or four genders. The devil created this dark, evil, cunning, ignorant, cunning wisdom to divide people from the order of God. God has an order he never changed. He said man and man, and he doesn't change his order in creation. A woman
Amen.
Is meant to be a mother and a wife, and no matter what gift she get, she's still a woman. She's not walking around trying to be a man. That's not her job or calling. And a man is not to be feminine trying to imitate a woman. Get in your role, brother. Sister,
Amen.
Find your right place and work together in the unity which God. Ain't no man go tell me what to do. I'm just as good as a man. You're not a man. You were not created to be man. Your role, so just because you go to the hospital, Brother Nate, and get your organs changed over into a woman, that don't change it, brother.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to make fun of these people, but they're just confused. They go to the hospital and they get organ changed. Well, I was born a woman, but I got men organs biologically, so I'm gonna go to operate and get my organs changed so I can switch over. Now, oh, the devil is a dog. Is a dog. I said the devil is a dog.
Yeah.
I said the devil is a dog. He's a crooked snapping. He confused the whole world, almost the whole world, but not the godly world that's been established in Christ. The remnant of faith that holding to the gospel, they're not confused. But he's defusing some church people, of course, with this. And so when I exalt and bless women, I don't mean the women's movement of the world. Surely God wanted women to be treated with the same respect and honor as mothers and women as he meant for them to repeat it. But when the devil got in this, we don't create this, what this movement we call back in the 60s, the women's movement, the devil took it over and perverted it and said, we're just as good as men, and now we don't need no men. So you got that movement, the spirit entered them, so now they don't need no men no more. Oh, you're going to change the order of things because you got misused by a man, you got abused by a man, you got left by a man. Now a devil, a spirit called perversion, I don't hate men. I hate them. Them dogs, they ain't no good. I don't need no man. So the devil said, wait, since you don't need a man, maybe you, both of you women can get together and y'all can be called into marriage. Because, you know, men's ain't nothing but a dog anyway, so I don't like them. So the devil got into the women's movement and made them against the order of God, against the home, because some men had abused their rights as men, had misused and become beastly. And so women who were used, misused, disgusted, and disappointed went and said, I don't want no more man in my life, no husband. I'm going to stick with a woman. And then they got perverted sexual influence saying, we can have sex together. It's just better than a man. We can be one. And that's and a man. And then the guys begin saying, I don't want a woman broke my heart. And a women's in. And I just, I have a feeling for a man sexually.
Yeah.
See, the devil gonna get in everything that God meant for be for good. When God said, I made everything for good, you can be sure the devil gonna show up.
Amen. Amen.
I say, he gonna show up, brother.
Yes, he is. Amen.
When he made the garden, here comes the devil. I don't care. When Moses about to get be born and Jesus going about to save the world, the devil going to show up. He's showing up. At every revival, spiritual awakening that God started in the earth, the devil showed up to bankrupt and destroy it. But the women would pray all night and fast and pray. That's why the Bible said, call for the praying women, the cunning women. Let them pray. Hallelujah. You got that, brother. Well, Jeremiah
Amen.
Said, call for the praying women. You know why? Because the women, they're going to pray and stand on the gap more than men. That's why he said, call for the praying women. That's part of their role. Call for the cunning women. They got a heart of prayer. They got a tender heart towards God, even though they not necessarily created to be leaders, because God created a man originally to be the leader. That man was created to be the head and the leader. That was God's creative order. Now, I'm not saying women can't lead, have a leadership ability, but the man, the husband, was created in the beginning to be the head and the leader in the world, in the church, and in everything. But after the fall, something changed. After the fall, something
yeah.
changed in the order of things. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. So now, we are sons of God. In the New Testament, we, not like in the New to Old Testament, women could not approach the tabernacle, not a court. In the New Testament, women can approach God now, just like a man. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, because Jesus said it's okay.
Amen.
That don't mean because God now using you, you're now a man.
Yeah.
Are you now you trying to take the role of a man? When you walk in the house, I ain't got to listen to you. God deal with me. I ain't got to hear no husband, no man.
Amen. Amen.
I got the Holy Ghost just like you.
Amen.
Sit down. Loving, sweet woman, sit down and find your place and your role in God. And God has not changed you because you got saved. You're no longer a humble, submissive to your husband and to the things of God. Now you want to thump on your chest. I'm just as good as a man. Walking around there and want to walk in the pulpit like a man. Find your rightful role and place and be humble and sweet. And say, husband,
Amen.
I submit to you. I didn't say boyfriend now. I didn't say pimp. I said husband. You know what
uh-oh,
I said, brother.
Uh-oh, brother. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Boy, them,
okay.
They couldn't come with old meter right for you, brother.
Okay. And when I say husband, and wife, I mean male and female.
Right.
I don't care what the court done passed that same-sex marriage is accepted. God don't recognize the one thing what he created. And God is not a God of confusion. He don't change his order. He made them male and female. If you're going to go back and change the order of God, then you are wiser than God.
Brother, they know you was wiser than God. You're going to change the order. God made them male and female, husband and wife. And now the law of man that said, I'm changing this stuff. God made a mistake. I'm on three more. I want to be a bisexual, a transgender, and I'm going to help God out here. I'm gonna add to his creation. Then you must be smarter than God. I said you must be wiser than God. I didn't know you were wiser than God, Brother Nate.
Not happening, brother. Not happening.
But man has changed the laws of creation, the natural order, and says, okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying in the body of Christ or any other sphere of life, women has often had to take a leadership role when a man failed. I said women had to be ushered into the role when men fail to be men and fill their role. Somebody don't like that.
Yeah.
Somebody don't like. I said again, in the permissive will of God, it was never the perfect will of God for a woman to head a lead to home, or it was the man to be the priest and leader. Because the fall of man came, God will permit a woman to fill a role where men fail to fill. Got lost in there. The permissive will and the perfect will. Now, when the Lord sent Elijah to restore all things, and he's coming today, there needs to be some understanding about what it means by restoring all things. I'm having a complete message on the restoring of all things. Elijah will come and set everything in its proper order as it was in the beginning, and all things, not one or two things, but it said all things. Is that right, Brother Nate? All things?
That's right. All things.
But we don't explain to people enough about the all things.
Right.
Well, you got a particular job and a mission, Brother Nate, and a lot of people don't understand that.
Amen.
Because he gives different callings and gifts to different people to fill certain roles. My calling and my gift ability is different from yours, because God needs. And so when people, when you don't always, because everyone is given a different ministerial servant role, so we don't have to fight against them. We have to learn how to work together with what God has given us. Is that right?
You're right.
That's a fact.
Exactly.
Because you have a role, is a strong preaching, teaching, or exalting role, I don't have to question. Why should I get mad at you?
Right.
I should rejoice as long as it's pleasing God. Because I may have a teaching, prophetic, intercession, prophetic word that is different from your preaching, teaching role. Why should you get mad at me? Because I may be given a special ministry of prayer.
Right.
And the person in the body of Christ said, well, I pray this way. But God has given that person a special calling in ministry to explain the different purposes and dimension of prayer that open your eyes to the great dimensions of prayer. But that's that special ministry calling. Some people are called to worship. Hallelujah. Some people are called to bring purity and holiness back to the church. That's their ministry. Do you get that? Some people are special anointed to bring healing and deliverance. Don't get mad at them because they want to cast out devils. God must know we need some devils cast out. Amen. And the Lord explained it this way in the first commission. He said, the eye can't say to the nose, I have no need of you. The nose can't say to the ear, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the arm, I don't need you. The feet can't say to the ankle, I don't need you. So you find the human body is demonstrating how God works with people. So when churches get special people, they get upset because Brother Nate wanted to teach you how to praise and worship God like God intended for you. Oh, we don't do all that stuff. Because you don't have understanding of it, a full understanding. So Nate, his job is to anoint, to teach you how to break through in worship and praise where you'll be greatly favored of God because you don't have the knowledge of it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Now, some people who have limited knowledge about healing. So here's somebody that's given special insight and revelation to the complete ministry, how ministry and healing and deliverance come. So they add that to the person.
Well, we don't do this in the church. We don't have that. Well, all we do is take the oil, turn it over that way. That's the only way we know.
Well, that's your limited knowledge. God is trying to expand you, trying to broaden you, to give you the dimension. So he calls somebody to expand you.
But because of your pride, you don't want to learn. You want to stay dumb.
Right.
I said because of our pride, we want to stay dumb.
Amen.
Can nobody tell me this is the only way we heal people? We set them in a chair. Now, say it correctly now. Get the oil, tip it this way. And this is the only way you can get healed. You see how foolish that is, unwise that is, when God tried to enlighten under the little shutter.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, brother. Hallelujah to Jesus anyway. I didn't know I was going this way, brother.
Well, you kind of sound like it. Especially when you just said it just now.
You know, you can come get ready to come or get on something in the last minute. The Lord can change the script.
Amen. We're grateful to the Lord for that, because that's what I want the Lord to do in my life personally. I want God to keep me in awe about Him. I don't want to get to a place where I just get quote used to Him. I want God to continue to keep me in awe about Him. So I'm like, Lord, do it. You know, keep me in awe.
Yeah.
I mean, just keep me like that, okay? You know.
Listen. The Bible said grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If God can't continue to enlighten you and you stay in the place because God gives you a certain element, a certain portal of truth, and you refuse to accept more truth and to be more enlightened, Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 about why people in the church was against him, because God began to enlighten him in a greater way, a mightier way, and they didn't quite want to accept some of the revelation because God began to expand his revelation of truth. When the Lord began to deal with you about the expansion, adding to you more truth, some people want to stay in the 30-watt bulb.
Right.
Brother Nate.
Right.
I've been had this 30-watt bulb, and I don't need no 60-watt bulb.
Amen.
I've been had this 70-watt bulb. Don't bring me no 120-watt bulb. I don't need no more light. And you won't get it either.
Amen.
When I started with Christ, I always used these two evil things. This woman was crippled. And go through the Bible and Jesus, how he dealt with people differently. He never hardly dealt with deliverance, healing, and the same way. Go in through the Bible and see how Jesus spoke and manifested in different areas to different people at different times and different places and different classes. He never heal person the same way. Why didn't he heal people the same way, brother? The same method.
Yeah.
Notice, when James wrote the scripture, if there be sick among you, call for the elders of the church. That's the normal way. Let them anoint him with oil. Now, that's not the only way. This is where people get stuck. They take one scripture, one truth, and say that's the end of all truth. The only way
right.
you can get healed, the only way you can get healed is James said, call for the elders of the church. Now, that is a general precept, a right good precept that God laid, but that's not the only way. Hallelujah. I said, that's not the only way. That's not the all of it. That, well, if that was the all of it, why didn't Jesus only did that?
Right.
Hmm? Why didn't the other apostles do that? Only do that.
Amen.
When Moses healed the people, why didn't he do that? When Elijah healed the people, why didn't Peter do that when his shadow just walked by the people and his shadow healed them? Oh, no, we don't do that, brother. We don't have no shadow. Peter's shadow healed them, and they brought people in the street just as his shadow might heal them. Now, this was that faith. Now, here's the thing where people get stuck. Call for the elders of the church. So that means God can't use any other method. Here's where you cut God off in pride and ignorance. God cannot and will not use any method but this one method. So we limit God. When we limit God and don't hear God, continue to hear him, we miss it. Now, I'll use this as we go. This woman was crippled when I started in Christ's early days, and I will be fasting on a certain day and pray and go out and witness it today, and I found this woman crippled in this house. Now, why I keep telling this, because this is a lesson. This woman was crippled, and I came up on the way. I'm just beginning as a Christian, as a young minister, a novice. But I was led of the Lord. So I knocked on the door, and I came, and she crippled. She in the house, and I went upstairs, and she got this cast on, and she can't walk. Now, if I don't listen to God, she won't be healed. See, some cases, if you don't listen directly to God, a person will not be delivered. You can pray over them. You can anoint them with oil, and they won't be healed that way. Some people will. Some people will. But because we limit, we traditionize one teaching set. This is the way we only do it, brother. Or God don't heal today, or God only does this, we have to call for the elder. Okay, that's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But you may not get the answer that way. But if you don't hear God in that hour. Now, when I went to that lady, he says, go back home. I want you to fast. And so I obeyed the Lord, and I didn't pray for her. I went back. And a fast, he said, when I tell you to go back to this woman, then you go. So it went on and went on. And he said, okay, I want you to go back. Now, this is what you want to do. This is what you must do in order to get her delivered or healed. I followed his instruction, went back to the house of the woman. I went up the stairs. I followed the instruction what the Lord told me by myself. And she came out of that chair. She jumped out of that chair. Now, I didn't tell her to shout. Don't tell me I'm trying to make people fanatics, that brother. I didn't tell the lady to shout.
Right.
I didn't try to make her be emotional. Peter didn't try to make that man emotional. You know that cripple man in the fifth chapter? He said, silver and gold I have I none, but such in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise and walk. What did the man, was he happy about that? Was he a fanatic because he started jumping and shouting? Was he was overcome with joy.
Amen.
Right. Why shouldn't he shout? You've been crippled all your life. Amen. If somebody come and heal you, wouldn't you get excited?
Amen. I would.
God ain't took excitement out of your life. He never took excitement. Yeah. Never excitement. That's people.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's fanatics. Yeah. People overdo this and over dramatize and become a fanatic. But God, when Jesus do something, you ought to get excited about it.
Amen.
The man started jumping and dancing, brother. When Peter said, silver and gold, I have said, rise and walk. He never walked. He was born that way. And he was so excited, he started jumping down the street and shouting and rejoicing. Yeah, I'll shout on my new ledge, too. I'll shout, too. Put me out in the church. I don't care. Put me out.
Amen.
I'll gladly go out the door.
Amen. Shout right on out the door.
Mm-hmm. Listen, when I went back to this woman, I didn't have nobody to teach me but the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Jesus was telling me what to do to get this woman delivered out of this wheelchair. Okay?
Amen.
When I went back, the mm-hmm. day is late, he said, now go back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God didn't tell me to go back to fail. I said, God didn't
Amen.
Tell me to go back to fail.
Amen.
When I did what the Lord Jesus said, I was only in there a few minutes. I didn't. I'm not trying to be funny. No, I didn't anoint her with no oil. I wasn't led.
Sorry.
I didn't
mm-hmm.
say oil was out of order. I didn't say that. I said I wasn't led. As many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the son. So being led is often mean the
mm-hmm.
difference between victory and defeat.
Yeah. Amen.
In some occasions. Listen, so when I began, I stopped and I read the word and I commanded her. I commanded her.
Mm-hmm.
She jumped out of that chair on that cast and began to shout.
Yes.
Brother Lee, you're teaching fanaticism and emotionalism. We got to put you out. Brother Nate,
mm-hmm.
you got to go.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, then.
Amen.
Okay.
We will.
We got Sister
we
Anderson.
Welcome Sister Anderson. Oh, yeah. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. Amen. I've been listening to the word, and I agree.
Oh, we were having a conversation, sister.
Amen. Amen. It's conversation, and if you listen, it's some help in it for in the conversation for you, if you want it, if you want the help. There is help, and I thank God for it. And I thank and I praise the Lord for the word that has gone forth. And the Lord laid a scripture on my heart, which was in Psalms 81 and 10, which Psalms was really, you know, my book. But anyway, 81 and 10. And as I was kind of meditating up on it, because it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. And as I was meditating upon that, the Lord gave it to me as I was listening to just the conversation that was going forth, that when the brother, when he was talking about, you know, the different things that people are in, alcohol and cigarettes and gambling and all this, the Lord just opened my eyes in that 81 and 10 of Psalm. You know, different people come into the house. They said the Lord brought you out of the land of Egypt. That let me see. There's an Egypt, different people. The people that's gambling and the Lord bring them out from that, that's their Egypt. The alcohol,
yeah.
that's their Egypt. The people that's gambling, that's their Egypt. And as I was meditating on this and the Lord was giving that to me and took my mind back years ago, when we lived in Chicago and my husband, I worked at the Macarese Hospital in Chicago, and my husband had called me, and I didn't know about this scripture, but he called me, and he said that he wanted to be saved, but he didn't know what to do. And I was listening to the brother when he was talking about when he went to this woman's house, and she was crippled. And nobody taught you what to do or anything, but it was the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, is what taught you. And at that time, I didn't know what to tell him, but the Lord laid it up on my heart. So I told him, I said, let me call you back. And where I worked, there was a conference room not too far away from where I worked. So I ran in the conference room, and I fell on my knees, and I started praying to the Lord. And the Lord worded my mouth right then and there and told him that you going to church, open your mouth, God worded. And as I was reading in Psalms, and the brother I heard you talking about, the praises of the Lord, you know, I want the Lord. I want the praises of the Lord. You know, I was thinking on this, and I'm thinking I praise the Lord for opening this up to me. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide, you know, this is talking about the praises. Open your mouth wide and praise the Lord. That woman, you didn't tell her to get up and shout, but yes, I mean, with new legs, I can walk. Yes, I'll be shouting. If you want to put me out, I'll be shouting right on out of the door. But I think and I praise the Lord, and I desire and I pray to the Lord. Give it to me. I want to open my mouth wide to praise him that he might feel it and that he might teach, you know, in the word that brother's been talking about, that he would teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. And, you know, when that scripture is talking about your hands to war and your fingers to fight, that's deep. That is deep. And I thank and I praise the Lord, and I'm praying for that.
Yeah,
I'm praying
right.
for it. I want to be a warrior for Christ Jesus.
Yeah, that's a time that we cry mightily unto the Lord, and that's coming a time we got to call for a solemn assembly and cry mighty unto the Lord. That's coming very soon.
Yeah.
We haven't reached, but it's soon to come. You know, yeah, glad to hear from you. We are constituting up there, Sister Sally. We're still standing for you and your family. We love you,
Amen.
And we stand strongly on the faith of God, our love for you and your family, and your being a woman of God for many years and holding strong to this Elijah message and to Christ. And standing steadfast in this way has been an example to many. You know, and as we close, I have been thinking about this over and over. I've been going through this back and forth. You cross a person in the street and you witness them about Christ, and they say, "I'm ready. I don't know what to do to receive life." And you walk away, and you say you have the gospel of life. And this is happening to people who don't really know what the gospel of Christ is all about.
Amen.
And that person is standing there waiting for you to give them direction how to receive life. And sad to say, in certain Christian groups, they leave those people there as on a lost island and walk away and say, "Come to church next week and you'll get it." You know, that is one of the saddest things. I hate to say it, it's not offensive, but that is one of the most saddest things.
A person
who say, "I have the gospel of life and I am a representative and witness of God," to tell a person, I know some people are ignorant, don't know, have not been trained, but if you walk away and leave that person helpless and hopeless, telling them you have to wait 7 days to get eternal life or get Christ seated in your life, I think that's a kind of a insult and a disrespect. Even some people are ignorant to it, don't know. But if you have the life, the gospel of life, and I asked a Jehovah's Witness once, and they was telling me they had good news. I said, "Okay, tell me how to get this good news right quick, because I got about 5 minutes to live. How do I get this good news?" "Well, you have to come." I said, "I got 4 minutes to live." "Well, you have to wait to go back." I said, "I got 3 minutes to live. I thought you said you had good news to give me."
"Yeah."
"Well, you see, you got." I said, "I got a minute and a half." I said, "You must don't have the good news, not the one in the Bible."
Mm-hmm.
You see, we miss
it's
the
bad.
Mark when you say, "I'm a witness." And churches that go out and meet people, and people say, "I'm ready to receive the witness of life." Jesus never left nobody. In the Bible, I don't reckon Nephi never left anybody. You can't find where they left somebody that was ready for eternal life and ready for it. You can't find any record. You don't see no record where it says, "Wait next 2 weeks and go to the synagogue. Wait and go to the church." You don't find that. Because you left that person in darkness. And they could be cut off the next minute. And you limit what God could do because you think it's combined to a certain building.
yeah,
a certain
amen.
Religious belief. Well, you have to wait till we get the water. You know, this has bothered me so much when I read the Reckoning from the Bible. This has really bothered me and troubled me where people don't have understanding. You can receive life only next Sunday. Brother Nate, I have to wait till next Sunday and get it.
Wow.
It is sad.
Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament?
The New Testament says, by the way, not the way. Oh, no, you can get it now.
Wow. What if you never see that person again? What if they get hit by a car, a thunderbolt, or have a heart attack, a stroke? Is that the gospel of Christ? Or is that religion?
Yeah. Religion.
Hallelujah. All right.
Religion.
I thought I'd throw that in and make somebody happy.
Amen.
Amen.
And that you did, brother.
Amen.
That you did. We thank God for the word of God today. We thank God for what he's been doing. For everyone that's been listening, we thank God for this new opportunity of giving us. Don't forget, another God's Word Demand broadcast tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Praise be to God. So we
Amen.
Love you all from Brother Lee to
yes, we do.
Brother Nate and Sister Anderson. May God bless you and may God keep you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
God bless you.
Behold.